Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpeny, Head of Research Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, 6th May 2022, and joining Derek to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Chris de Sieber, Head of Institutional Investors FX Sales for EMEA. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Good afternoon, Derek.
Afternoon, Chris.
We've had some wild swings in the FX markets this week. I know the Fed decision played a role in that, but can you talk through for our listeners your overall sense of what's happening and whether these swings are likely to persist going forward?
Yes, it's been a pretty extraordinary week, Chris. Indeed, DXY on Monday jumped 0.8%, then on Wednesday it dropped 0.9%, and then yesterday it was up 1.1%. So, like, you know, from my time in the markets, those kind of 1% swings without any kind of specific risk events, it's definitely an indication of much greater levels of day-to-day volatility. Does suggest perhaps we're into overshooting territory for the US dollar. Certainly, as you know, when you're in a trend is about to turn, you can very often get kind of bouts of big swings one way or the other, and then the trend turning. I'd be a brave man to predict that at this exact point in time, but it does suggest we're kind of entering the phase of perhaps the US dollar starting to peak out, but of course that could take some time to be confirmed. So I'm not suggesting we're going to immediately swing back the other way. The Fed obviously has played a big role in that. The drop on Wednesday in particular was down to just an element of relief in the markets. 75 basis points from the Fed was pretty much dismissed from Powell, maybe more explicitly than the markets were expecting. He also committed to just two further 50 basis point rate increases, while the market has three priced. So that, and then the QT program, the tiering up to the maximum $95 billion roll-off from the balance sheet, that's a three-month period, which, you know, some had thought it could be more quickly done than that. So there were a couple of elements like that I think helped a reversal and the dollar to weaken off. But the trend we've seen in this tightening cycle in terms of the markets pricing in tightening and then the tightening beginning is that, you know, central banks have been behind the markets. The markets have been kind of pulling central banks along. And in that sense, it's down to central banks kind of lacking credibility to a degree. And the market's not being convinced. And I think we had evidence of that again yesterday where, you know, the rates market reversed on Wednesday on the relief that there wouldn't be more aggressive moves. But then, rates jumped again yesterday and the dollar re-strengthened. And I guess the markets are not convinced that the Fed can be as maybe cautious as they were suggesting in terms of only committing to two further 50 basis point rate increases. So that's really in relation to the swings. But ultimately, you know, over the whole week, if you look at the December 2023 Fed futures, we're at an implied rate of 3.25%. That's exactly where we were last Friday. So, you know, the markets haven't really changed considerably in terms of their expectations going forward, despite those swings that we've just gone through. I would say, though, that, you know, over time, you know, the markets obviously take some convincing. You know, in their view, the central banks have been behind the curve and not really with it in terms of the inflation risks. But, you know, today's data, the payrolls figure, for example, you know, the average hourly earnings came in a bit weaker than expected again. And by my calculation, the quarter-on-quarter change now in average hourly earnings to April was 1.1%. That's actually the weakest increase since May 2021. So there is signs of deceleration there. Now, we're still obviously at fairly lofty growth rates, but we're decelerating. And from a Fed's perspective, that will be met with some relief. And we're clearly not seeing evidence of, you know, this wage inflation spiral that definitely is a risk given how strong the labor markets are. And I think that's important. You know, and then there's other aspects. The housing market is definitely slowing, very interest rate sensitive. That's where you'd expect to see the slowdown coming through first. Mortgage applications are decelerating quite notably. And, you know, that suggests some slowdown coming in that area of the economy as well. And then when you look at the ISM data, the new orders components are coming down. So, you know, there are signs that the tightening of financial conditions, that essentially is what the Fed are doing, is perhaps beginning to have some impact. Now, of course, this is too soon for any talk of halting, but, you know, we're still convinced ultimately that the Fed will will decelerate the pace of tightening sooner than what's priced into the markets. We'll definitely probably get one more 50 basis point rate increase, but beyond then, you know, the jury's out, and they could easily go back to 25 much sooner, especially with inflation now. Core CPI is set to start decelerating on an annual basis because of pretty lofty base effects from a year ago. So, you know, there's a lot to play for going forward. Markets are not yet convinced, but, you know, the Fed actually could start to be proven correct in terms of not committing to being too aggressive in terms of tightening going forward. And that ultimately obviously has implications for the dollar on the negative side. But again, it's too soon to talk about that. Certainly for now, with the rates market the way it is, you know, the dollar has good reason to be supported at these levels for now.
The RBA and the Fed policy meetings weren't the only central bank meetings this week. The BOE, as expected, hiked by 25 basis points. Do you expect the BOE to continue hiking going forward? And what does it mean for the sterling?
Yeah, like the RBA hiked. And I mean, indeed, Aussie was a big mover, higher and then lower again this week. So big swings there. From the Bank of England, again, a big FX move on the back of yesterday's announcements to the downside, of course. And that was essentially the communications that came with that 25 basis point rate increase. And as listeners may know, you know, we've been arguing that the Bank of England was going to pause a lot sooner than what was priced into the markets. You know, before the meeting, six rate increases were effectively priced. And we think they're going to pause after one more hike. And the details of the monetary policy report, we think, back that view up quite clearly, in fact. You know, with the tightening in the markets, which is what the Bank of England uses to extrapolate out its forecasts for inflation along with all the macro variables that they assume, that takes inflation from 10% in the fourth quarter of this year to 1.3% in 3 years' time at the end of the forecast horizon. A huge plunge after a very lofty level at the end of the year. And again, you know, the Bank of England just couldn't justify keep hiking rates when they have the inflation forecast in 3 years' time so far below the 2% target. But even if you look at the assumptions of there being no further rate increases, so in other words, bank rate remaining at 1% through the 3-year forecast period, on that assumption, the inflation rate in 3 years' time is at 2.16%, barely above the target. And that to us was the key piece of information that tells you they're actually very, very close to doing enough. Even with inflation getting to 10% at the end of the year, they're very close to doing enough to get it down to target by the end of the forecast period in 3 years. And in essence, that's why we think one further rate hike is what they'll do, and then they'll go into a pause. And indeed, you know, the MPC itself, you know, in February, it was a 5-4 vote with four voting for 50 basis points rather than 25 hike. Then at the March meeting, eight voted for 25 and one voted for no change in policy rates. And then yesterday we had six voting for 25 and three voting for 50 again. So the, you know, the MPC is divided, and they're clearly not, they don't have clarity in terms of how to deal with inflation getting to 10%. But you know, the guidance that that the Bank of England put out, that, you know, further monetary tightening in March, it was further modest tightening may be appropriate. Whereas yesterday they changed that to some degree of monetary tightening may be appropriate. And two members of the MPC disagreed with that guidance because they felt enough tightening was already done. So, you know, I think it all backs that up. And there was a big rates move yesterday on the back of it. At one stage, 30 basis points of tightening had been removed from market pricing, but some of that was given back. But, you know, the key takeaway is the outlook is grim. The Bank of England is forecasting GDP contraction in Q4. Calendar year growth next year will be minus 0.25%. And all of that with the Bank of England going on hold much sooner than the markets think. And I think that kind of mix is a pretty toxic one from an FX perspective. And in that sense, you know, cable heading down to 120, possibly even below 120 if the dollar has another broader leg higher is definitely on the cards. You know, I think a period of underperformance ahead is quite likely.
And what about your trade ideas, Derek, that you publish in the FX Weekly? Any updates for our listeners today?
Yeah, well, based on what I've just spoken about, Chris, we've published a long euro versus sterling. So that actually has broken quite considerably to the upside, and it's broken some key technical levels. And I've explained to you in the last segment there the reasons for being short the pound. But I think the other important development this week has been the very, very clear and certainly a lot more unified rhetoric from ECB Governing Council members who are, bar none, now talking about a rate hike in July. And for there being positive rates by the end of the year. So I think, you know, we're approaching the point of starting the tightening cycle in Europe. And while that is priced into the markets, we're getting confirmation of that now. And there's certainly scope for the markets to overshoot further on the rate side, like what has happened in other countries, once the central bank of that country starts to act and tighten. And in that sense, I think the euro will start to get some support from that. And in that sense, we think there's a good chance there of that euro sterling break higher with both positive fundamentals and the technical backdrop being favorable. We see further upside for euro sterling over the coming weeks.
Well, with that, thank you very much for listening today. And thank you, Derek, for your thoughts.
Thanks, Chris, and talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.